I'm going to present to you today an ongoing research project in the short time that we have to looking at the Haiti earthquake response and looking at health product donations and distribution barriers to those health products in terms of delivery. Those health products were mostly donated by health product manufacturers, pharmaceutical companies, medical supply companies, equipment, etc., and most of that was distributed through NGOs or INGOs, international non-governmental organizations. So the roadmap that I have laid out for us is looking at who the players are, the process and the product, and the guidelines that are governing donations, the findings thus far, because it's an ongoing study, and some sort of interim concluding remarks. I'm going to be flinging around a whole bunch of lingo, and I wanted to sort of go through it. But WHO, World Health Organization, GIC, as a friend of mine refers, it's actually GIK, and that's gift in kind, so those are donations that are made. GHP, Global Health Partnerships, PQMD, the Partnership for Quality Medical Donations, which is a nonprofit and is the case study from which I am actually working with. MDGs, Millennium Development Goals, NGOs, INGOs, I use those interchangeably. Pharmacos, pharmaceutical companies, PTGs, or Produce to Give programs. Those are programs that the pharmaceutical companies actually manufacture a product for the sole purpose of giving. And UNOCHA, the United Nations Office of Coordinated Humanitarian Affairs. So here's your primer on donations 101. The players, again, health manufacturers and different manufacturers. Obviously, there are a number of players that donate medicines, medical supplies, but there's also the donation of tents, shelter, food, water, all of the necessary elements that that are necessary in a disaster relief response. The process, and typically the way that that is done is through a manufacturer of some sort donates then to a 501c3, typically registered in the U.S., not necessarily the case. Could be anywhere coming from Europe, coming from Canada, coming from Asia, but that donates to a nonprofit organization of some sort who then takes that product, incorporates it into their relief package, and deliver that product or distribute that product within a developing country context in response to a disaster. The network that I'll be referring to in this case study is called, again, the Partnership for Quality Medical Donations, PQMD, which I'll talk about in just a little bit more detail. And the why. One of the things that typically happens is much of the umbrella of the work that's being done in terms of donations is under the sort of the auspice or the umbrella of corporate social responsibility or planned giving, or the emphasis being corporate global citizenship in terms of the products, and then the NGOs are actually fulfilling their mission through the use of some of this donated medicine. There hasn't been extensive research done in terms of looking at global product donations, especially generally speaking in terms of global health development projects, and then specifically in terms of disaster relief. But the World Health Organization has written a drug donations guidelines. The first version was done in 1996, and then 99 and 2000, although drug donations have been happening since the 40s from what I've been able to document. And then there was a comprehensive review done by Dr. Michael Reich from Harvard University. It was a book written in 99 on the assessment of U.S. pharmaceutical donations, the players, the process, and the product. So I'm sort of coining that, taking that coin, that term, and coining it in terms of this presentation. This is a very weak attempt at manipulating boxes in PowerPoint, but it really, what it illustrates, and again, somewhat poorly, but that it's a complex web of the way in which donations work. So if you look at the top, would be same for you, I guess. Top left-hand corner would be the Partnership for Quality Medical Donations. Again, this alliance of 14 pharmaceutical companies and 16 nonprofit organizations that actually meet three times a year to look at establishing guidelines for and improving the quality of medical donations, which again I'll go into further detail. And so that the way that this happens on various levels is, health manufacturers donate as a part of their CSR programs, whether it's a surplus product, as long as it has long dating, disease-specific initiatives, you know, trachoma initiative, there are various initiatives that are, you know, the Mectazan, there are various initiatives that are specific to a disease that are donated from pharmaceutical manufacturers. Or pharmacos, as we learned earlier, and our manufacture-to-give programs, which are called PTGs, typically. So, you know, this is sort of in the context of disaster. This is sort of the way that it happens, all of which is being sort of broader umbrella of the Millennium Development Goals and WHO drug guidelines, which is sort of guiding the whole event. Some of that is donated. So there's the donation process that can either go to the INGO, or it can go to the Ministry of Health, or it can go directly to an indigenous NGO, which I tried to do in that middle box, but didn't work out. And then some of that, so, you know, the NGO could donate to then to another NGO. So a U.S.-based NGO can donate to an NGO that's sort of an indigenous clinic, a hospital, or an NGO within Haiti, for example, or to the Ministry of Health, who will then donate to another clinic and hospital. And then you look at, you know, the recipients. That was my little attempt at recipients. And so the questions often come up, which are, you know, does that improve health access and does that improve health outcome? It's hard to say in a disaster situation. In long-term health development programs, we see a lot more evidence of that. The question that looms for us is really looking at, you know, why at some level does this matter? Well, you know, disasters, disease, poverty, all of these obviously pose a health risk to society and undermine any community, especially when it's being some sort of natural disaster has been thrust upon it. Disaster response is the world's largest unregulated industry in terms, and this is according to the 2005 report from the International, oh, I didn't put that one on my little lingo, International Federation for the Red Cross and Red Crescent Societies. And then relief agencies are not accountable, are not accountable to the recipients, but they are accountable to their donors. And that should be at some level, if not equally important, if not maybe more important in terms of the recipients that actually receive their medicines and medical supplies. So there's obviously an imperative to look at health product donations as a part of the public health discourse, as a part of the discourse analysis, as a part of why there is a need to do more research in this area. And I contend that there are far few, I mean, there's far more that needs to be done in terms of looking at the recipients of donated medicines and medical supplies and what the health impacts are in terms of these initiatives. When I said earlier that it is not a regulated industry, or from the quote that you saw earlier, not regulated doesn't mean that it's not guided by a set of principles and guidelines, et cetera. So there are two sets of principles that are the overarching guides for health product donations. As I'd mentioned earlier, WHO guidelines, which the first seems just not long ago, but 1996, that they were written, 99. They're actually being revised this year in 2010. But again, a very long slide that has a lot of information. But at the end of the day, these are guidelines for those that are working in this field of donating medicines and medical supplies. And the guidelines really emphasize how they should be done, what type of dating products should have, 12, you know, products should have as they arrive in country, 12 months dating, at least no expired product, how you should destroy that product, how the recipient country should be contacted before you donate a product. There needs to be a needs assessment. There needs to be, you know, you need to talk to the folks that you're sending it to so that they know how to dispense it, who's going to work with it, who's going to secure the safety, and so that there's no diversion, pilferage of that product, and, you know, responsibly basically guiding how these initiatives should work. PQMD, the Partnership for Quality Medical Donations, has standards in terms of, you know, if you're going to work in this arena of donated medicines and medical supplies or health product donations, you need to do a needs assessment. There needs to be an appropriateness. And that needs assessment is broad. What are the socioeconomic impacts? You know, do you have the right people dispensing it? Is it a doctor? Is it a nurse? Do you have a facility? Is it, it doesn't have air conditioning? Do you have distribution capacity, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? Are you tracking appropriateness of the donation. You know, if they're asking for malaria, you don't send hemorrhoid cream. If they're asking for, if they're asking for 500 milligrams of amoxicillin, which is the local need, you shouldn't send any other third form of antibiotic medicine. So there's the topic of appropriateness is something that is far understudied and needs a lot more work. Quality and quantity, you know, if they've asked for 10 pallets, don't send them 30 because that's what you happen to have or because you have surplus. I'm simplifying many of these, so these can definitely be viewed at the www.pqmd.org, and it has a full list of what that is. Packaging, if you're sending this to Haiti, it shouldn't be, your packaging shouldn't be in Chinese. Very simple, very, but it's often overlooked information. And transportation, you know, if it's something that needs cold chain, are you using a cold chain? Are you air shifting this in? Or do you have a air-conditioned warehouse, et cetera? Many of the questions that seem, that many folks tend to assume. Utilization of human resources, do you have the right staff capacity in place in the country that's receiving the medicines or medical supplies to handle the warehousing, the inventory, the management, and the dispensing? And evaluation, what tools and mechanisms are you using to evaluate whether or not you're dispensing appropriately and how so? And I'll refer to Libby, as she mentioned earlier. Sometimes the language doesn't translate in terms of, you know, who's speaking to who and what consumption is, what stockout is, and what need is, and how that's being trickled up to the donors themselves. PQMD emphasizes this whole deliver, align, research, and educate in terms of how they go about emphasizing standards as a part of a mechanism for improving the quality of medical donations. So the Haiti case study, the primary goal was to really look, and this is a part of a doctoral research program, so I'll disclose that. So I had the opportunity to really look at the Partnership for Quality in Medical Donations and look at their 28-29 members, again, half NGO, half PharmCo, and say, okay, so are all three levels of the membership really speaking the same language around coordination? So if we're looking at donated product, does everyone understand what's going on? And is this hierarchical? In other words, the donor gives to the US-based NGO who then gives, disperses and dispenses this product at a local level, whatever that country is. In this case, it was Haiti. Are they all understanding the emphasis here? And is this a really, is this a dependent situation in terms of if the donor doesn't give here, then what happens? So the desired outcome that I'm looking for in terms of this research is really assessing key trends, challenges, and mitigation opportunities, because in terms of how to improve this process from a logistical standpoint, from a health perspective, from a health outcome perspective, what ways can this supply chain at some level be looked at as an opportunity to learn and grow as the community learns and grows in terms of product donations? Study design in the interest of time, and you know, it's a qualitative, quantitative study. I'm doing surveys, I'm interviewing INGO headquarter folks, INGO field interviews in terms of the INGOs that field deploy, looking at I've done surveys now of NGOs in country, and then corporate donors interviews. Those are actually going to be conducted shortly. But looking at this PQMD as this opportunity, because it provides a rich opportunity for us to really see in action how to improve the quality of how medical supplies are impacting, especially in the case of disaster relief, where, you know, disaster is a disaster. And it's difficult to take time out to really look at how and when this product is being evaluated, used, and implemented, if appropriately. So you're probably questioning and asking yourself, who in the heck is PQMD? Well, as I mentioned earlier, it's an alliance of nonprofit organizations. They it's a combination of product contributions, cash, volunteers, training, and other services, technology transfer, another are a wide range of global health programs in which they participate. Again, the membership you can look at www.pqmd.org. Now, I do have to say that I was on PQMD's board from 2000 to 2005, and so it really provided me an opportunity to look at this one network in particular and look at the way in which they handled medical product donations. In terms of their giving, it's about $15.5 million in cash and product, and then about that quadrupled over 6 months into $66 million, and we still haven't seen any, I haven't seen any collarette number yet, so I'm sure that those numbers will go up. So again, an opportunity to look at that. Challenges in donations, there are various: dating, competition, manufacturing changes, labeling, in-country distribution, sustainability, flexibility of using that product, appropriateness, and then drug-specific quality and assurance. So some initial findings, the biggest challenges were the destruction of expired meds, NGO registration, which it translated in Haiti to say, if you weren't registered, you couldn't bring product in. So what they were finding is that they were trying to bridge with indigenous registered NGOs to get their product in through that route. The Haitian government, again, so it was a disaster that that impacted the government's ability initially to respond because it was so crippled by the impact of Port-au-Prince. And customs clearance was a major issue. Donor expectations, donations not appropriate, short-dated donations, and the destruction of expired donations were followed up in terms of the study, in terms of a survey, and that we found were the number one reasons for, number one ways in which quality can be improved. So we asked, did your organization collaborate with other PQMD members? Again, if we're looking at collaboration and they are within a network, why aren't they collaborating more with each other? That was one of my questions. And, you know, they said 76% said, yes, we were. We're sharing medicines, information, logistics, and office space. But there were still significant gaps in terms of who was coordinating with who, even within the same network. Partnerships was one of the things I found most important, and we looked at what they found important in terms of partnerships, and that strong accountability standards and trusted partnerships, so pre-established relationships. Just two more to go, I promise. And then what could PQMD do to support, again, a lot of information, but if you look at all the keywords that were provided, coordination, improved communication, facilities, coordination, sharing information, and these were actual quotes, ways to share data, a lot, you know, as Libby referred to earlier, a lot of ways in which you could use databases, et cetera, to provide information for them to facilitate coordination, especially in country. So what is Haiti's experience teaching us thus far? Well, even in the best of circumstances, governments alone cannot deliver on the help needed in developing country contexts. So, you know, hopefully looking at a case study like PQMD and its members that specifically focus on product, on health product donations, this is outside of the realm. You know, how do we create learning systems that help improve coordination and provide mitigation strategies for more important and more focused collective response to product donations and improving the quality and the health impact? Thank you.